There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on assignment. This is podcast number 379. September 27th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by the Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we love the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge. Well, here we are in beautiful Singapore. It's hot. It's humid. And when the sun goes down, it's hot. It's humid. And what's really strange, a couple of days before the qualifying or race weekend, they said we were going to get torrential downpours.
Yeah, well, there was some hint at possible rain during the race.
Which I was praying for.
Exactly, but never materialized.
Never materialized.
I think this would be a lot more fun in the wet. This race would be a lot more interesting, a lot more exciting.
Well,
it's just kind of like I think Valencia would be more interesting and more exciting
absolutely.
If it were a little damp.
Absolutely. I think all these kinds of races, these street races, you know, out in these beautiful cities should be in typhoon season or something.
Yeah. Maybe since we got artificial light, maybe artificial start having artificial
rain.
Weather.
That's interesting. That's the future.
And start hosing down the track.
That's the future. And
you'd like at the beginning of the race weekend, you'd go like, you'd like flip a three-sided coin or something and you'd have all wet or partially wet or
only,
dry.
Or they could write software where you really don't know when it's going to be wet. It's arbitrary. And it just, there it is.
Yeah, the sprinklers come on.
Yeah. So that would be exciting. But anyway, let's quickly get through the Singapore qualifying. The usual stuff, Q1, Jaime Alguersuari, Giancarlo Fisichella, of course, getting his still not comfortable in the Ferrari.
No, exactly. And I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to get comfortable before season's done. He might race well in Brazil, in Abu Dhabi being the last race of the year, but I think he's not going to be exceptionally competitive.
No, and not only that, but
this car isn't very competitive unless it's a track with long straights.
The car is starting to show its colors when, you know, they have admitted they're not developing this car anymore. This is last year's car for them. Yeah.
Exactly.
So there you have it. But anyway, Giancarlo Fisichella hits the track as quickly as the lights go out. And of course, to remind the listeners that Rubens Barrichello had a gearbox change and has a 5-spot penalty no matter what happens.
Wherever he ends up on the grid.
Exactly.
But not exceptionally exciting quality. Gets a little bit better in the later sessions, but the first one's pretty.
It's blasé. Romain Grosjean whining about his brakes. The team tells them to just get him hot. You know, you're not doing something.
You're not breaking hard enough.
Yeah, and of course he spins and continues to cry about his brakes. 15 minutes to go. It's Sebastian Buemi, Kimi Raikkonen, Jaime Alguersuari, Giancarlo Fisichella, and of course Vitantonio Liuzzi are the top five, but things get shaken up pretty quickly.
But they won't stay that way very long.
No, of course not. These people, it's the standard stuff.
Yeah, they get out there early so they can get at the top of timesheets because they know that they're quickly going to be pushed down.
And Lewis Hamilton looking pretty good right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
The final practice, he dominated. He's just doing such a good job in this car.
And the McLaren's really turned itself around for this season. A considerably better car than he had, say, for Monaco, which is kind of the track that they compare this one to.
Which means, you know, and of course they're hoping that this translates into a championship-winning car for the 2010 season.
Exactly. Be interesting to see who Lewis's teammate ends up being because There are about five people in the running for that slot right now.
Yeah, and right towards the end of the session, Kimi Raikkonen was still P14, but finally slammed one in and went right to P2. So he woke up or something, ice cream.
And then Timo just manages to squeeze into the final session at P15.
Pretty interesting stuff. But out in the first session, Adrian Sutil, Jaime Agashwari, Giancarlo Fisichella, which is a big bummer for Ferrari, but he just could not get to grips. He's also complaining about just lacking in mental toughness. He's just whipped.
Yeah. He's come down off that emotional high that he got when he got the seat.
Yeah.
And so now he's trying to fight back from that. So we'll see how that goes. Not only that, but like you mentioned, the fact that they've stopped developing this car, and this car has never performed well on a track similar to this. It's only really stepped up on the two high-speed tracks of the season at Spa and Monza. Every other race, it's been mid-pack at best.
And Romain Grosjean, very disappointing. He fails to finish along with Vitantonio Liuzzi.
Yeah, I was sort of expecting Vitantonio to have a little bit better weekend, or at least to be a little bit more competitive with Adrian. But the fact that he's, been out of the seat so much, and again, this is another one of those cars that looks really good on the high speed tracks, but you put it on something like this, and it's like
high downforce. Yeah, they just don't have the high downforce package together.
They just don't have the aero for it to work.
Yeah, so too bad for them. But there you have it. Q2, very interesting. Q2. Nico Rosberg puts in a really great lap pretty much at the beginning of the section, a 1:146.197.
Yeah, basically he goes out and makes a low-fuel run and bangs at the top of the sheets, and really nobody gets close to him for that session. He ends up ending the session almost 2/10 above the next guy.
Not only that, but that's the fastest lap of the weekend.
Yeah, and you wonder, where's that in the final session?
Well, they have fuel in the final session.
Yeah, I know. Nico's looking like he's going to have a good weekend. Let's hope he can make it translate into the race.
Absolutely. And Fernando Alonso, he does not come out for a good while because they realize, watching their monitors, that the track is finally getting rubbered in and there's no sense wasting time in Q2 because you're not burning fuel.
Not like that.
Just go out there and bang a good lap once it's rubbered in.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that the soft compound this weekend is really only good for one good lap. And then after that, if they're off compared, you get that one really quick lap out of them, and then they're, it's kind of ordinary tires.
And, of course, turn 17 is now officially called PK's Corner and will be... We'll be called that for the rest of the Singapore Grand Prix existence.
Exactly.
So keep up the good work, PK.
Way to get yourself, written into history.
Yeah, keep up the good work. I love that man. And out, of course, is Jenson Button.
Yeah, really strange, Jenson Button, it's kind of like, dude, you you have to perform well this weekend, so you can maybe knock off one of your other competitors. But I don't know what it is. It just seems like he's maybe being too cautious, and so he's not being competitive. And
well,
it doesn't help him any.
Rubens Barrichello was almost out too, but finally pounded one in and got through Q2. But very shocking. Kimi Raikkonen out as well.
Yeah, again, the Ferrari on a high downforce track pretty much hasn't been there all season.
Not only that,
it'll be interesting to see what they're able to do next season. The fact that this car has been such a dog on the low speed corner.
Well, not only that, but Kimi Raikkonen, I think we're not. I mean, he might wake up occasionally, but things in the background are.
There's
happening.
A lot of stuff going on. There's a big question mark as to whether or not he's even driving for Ferrari next season.
He's not.
That's a lot of
everything has been answered right here.
To me, it completely goes against the grain. Why are you going to pay a guy $49 million to sit on the bench?
For laughs and giggling. But somebody else is going to step in and help pay that bill. But we'll talk about that at the end of the program. Also, Jarno Trulli's out.
Sebastian Buemi.
Correct. And Kaz Nakajima.
And actually, it's kind of interesting that Kaz actually out-qualifies both Jens and Kimi, which is like, whoa, dude. Let's hope that Kaz can kind of pull this up and carry this over into next weekend and and do well at his home track.
Don't count on it. So there you have it. We go right to Q3. And 5 minutes into the session, 5 minutes left, we have Sebastian Vettel, Nico Rosberg looking very strong, yes. Mark Webber, Rubens Barrichello, and Fernando Alonso. And the Red Bulls are doing pretty good. They're quick.
This track far more suited to them. They didn't seem to be doing so well in the high-speed courses, but you get back into these high downforce tracks, and the Newey design really comes to the fore. One of the things that I did notice with just about every car in the grid is the cars are getting the crap beat out of them on this particular course.
Well, it's a bumpy course.
It's a bumpy road, and then the chicanes and the curbs just really kicking the cars around. Was really surprised during the race not to see more cars just kind of quit than we did. But, rough course in the cars. You can tell that they're just getting the crap beat out of them. But still fun to watch.
Red Bull's big opportunity, they realize that when they see Jenson Button not qualifying out of Q2, and when they know that Rubens Barrichello is going to take that five-place grid penalty, this is their opportunity to grab this race and win it to stay in the fight for the World Championship.
Or just finish way ahead of both of the Mercedes, the Braun Mercedes. They don't necessarily need to win it, but they need to play significantly better than the two Brauns. And Sebastian Vettel seems to be stepping up to the plate, but Mark Webber, not quite so much. But Mark had that spin right at the end of practice yesterday, and I don't know. I'm wondering if his car may be a little bit balky.
Possible. 2 minutes to go. It's Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Nico Rosberg, Mark Webber, and Rubinho. And
apparently Ruben really liked the way the grid was set up because he goes out, spins it, and drops it into the wall.
30 seconds to go.
Yep. So
I want a full investigation.
Exactly, because I'm thinking there are at least two guys who probably had a chance to knock Lewis off. May have, may not have. Vettel was on a fast lap.
Vettel
Nico was on a fast lap. You know, about a third of the other cars in the grid are on their fast lap, you know, as is typical in the third session, when basically Rubens puts it into the wall and that basically red flags the course and we're done.
I think Sebastian Vettel or Nico Rosberg both had a good possibility of getting pole because they were lighter than Lewis Hamilton. But there you go. Lewis Hamilton gets pole position because there was just no time to restart.
Yeah, basically the session was over by the time Rubens got out of the car.
Exactly. So there you have it. Pole position, third pole position for our esteemed F1 world champion.
Yep, so we're going to start the race with Lewis Hamilton on pole, Sebastian Vettel beside him. Nico Rosberg starts out the second row with Mark Webber beside him. Rubens beside Fernando. Timo beside Nick Heidfeld and Robert Kubica with Heikki Kovalainen in row 5. Again, Heikki on a little bit of a heavy strategy again. You know, I seriously would not want to be the second driver at McLaren with Lewis Hamilton there unless I was as good as Lewis, because you're just going to kind of get the scraps.
And he continues to come up with excuses later on. It's just, he's a number two and it's over with. His career, he will never have a chance.
The only way he's going to be a number one is if he goes to one of the five new teams, and then he's not going to be in a competitive car anyway.
Yeah, so too bad for Heikki Kovalainen. We did have lots of praise for
him
a couple years ago.
He looked really good when he first started. Well, actually, he didn't really start really well with Renault, but he looked really good coming into Formula One and has never really lived up to expectation, which is kind of sad.
Remember the Flavio comment? He's still at the hotel room.
Yeah.
The problem is Heikki Kovalainen's biggest problem.
Well, he and Fisichella were still at the hotel room.
You know, they have two problems. One was Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso, his teammates. That's tough. I mean, sorry, but c'est la vie. But anyway, real quickly, I want to state that Nick Heidfeld, who qualified 8th, will have to start from the pit lane. His car was found too light, and it was a mistake by the engineers. They forgot to put the ballast in.
Oops.
But Dr. Mario Tryson explained it to everybody, and you know, he giggled a little bit. It was a simple mistake, and there you have it.
There you have it.
So
not like it's going to ruin their season.
Exactly. And then, of course, we find out that Sebastian Vettel is the lightest car on the grid. So we go to Sunday. Once again, I'm hoping for rain, but
no, there's some hint of it on the horizon, but it never materializes over the course. So they were saying that there was some lightning in the distance, but apparently that thunderstorm was in the hills and had no intention of coming down.
Exactly. So there you have it. The biggest problems we're concerned with before the start of the race, I think, is rear tires. And, of course, this track, similar to Canada, is brutal on brakes.
Yeah, that and the fact that this, what is it? They're saying it's in the high 80s with like 80% humidity. Just brutally muggy conditions to be racing in. And that doesn't help the brakes any, because you can't dissipate the heat because there's too much moisture and too much heat in the air to get rid of it. So it's going to be a rough weekend on brakes and the drivers.
Absolutely. So anyway, the red lights go out, and that's an outstanding start for Lewis Hamilton. He takes off. Nobody gets in his way. Fernando Alonso and Nico Rosberg both have good starts as well. Then Mark Webber starts tangling with Fernando Alonso, goes around on the outside off the track because there's some white lines painted. And really, if you're looking at afar, it doesn't look like you're off the track, but you really are off the track.
Right.
And then while this is happening, Timo Glock gets past both of them. Robert Kubica gets past Heikki Kovalainen. And it lines up like this. Lap one, it's Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Timo Glock, Fernando Alonso, Rubens. Who's after Fernando, Steven?
Mark Webber would have been behind Fernando. No.
No, he's ahead.
Is that Aguaswari?
It could have been. Robert Kubica, Heikki Kovalainen, and Jenson Button. Yarno Trulli has a really bad start, loses three spots right off the top.
Yarno Trulli? Bad start?
Yep.
Huh.
Shocking.
Yeah, big surprise.
Lap two, fast lap of the race with a 1:50.935. Lewis Hamilton has got the pedal to the metal, and he's doing a great job taking the lead.
He's trying to run away from the field because he knows that his real competition for the win at this race is Sebastian Vettel, probably, and he just needs to make sure that he can keep a gap or keep him from getting too close so that Sebastian can't jump him, leapfrog him in the pit.
Exactly. Romain Grosjean pits on lap three. He's in the garage right away, and apparently it's brakes.
Yeah, apparently the brake problem that he was experiencing during qualifying and practice came back up again and couldn't get the commentators on Speed mentioned that they were bleeding the brakes as early as the first practice. On the last the practice on Saturday, and apparently just couldn't get the brakes right for Romain's preference, and he walks away from the car. Better safe than sorry. You know, this is a kind of course where you really don't want to go out there with brakes you're not comfortable with because there's no runoff.
why does Fernando not have these problems?
Because they know how to set up Fernando's car. Fernando, I think they're still learning Romain Grosjean's preferences.
Stylistically?
Yes, stylistic preferences.
Huh. Lap four, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:49.172. And McLaren gets on the radio and says they've got a curse problem, so he's got to punch in default E44639. That reboots the system. You know, and he's losing a half a second just figuring out how to put this default.
I think he lost a half a second setting the dials to the proper settings.
They've got to have something better than that.
You know, 3-4 years ago, they probably could have just sent that reset from the pit.
But that's not.
But you can't do that anymore.
Exactly.
Because you can't program your EMUs by yourself. You have to use the FOM code instead of your own.
Exactly. As soon as they announce the curse problem on Lewis Hamilton's car, Sebastian Vettel puts in the fast lap of the race on lap five with a 1:49.122.
It's he gained that half second on that one lap.
Exactly.
But that was the one lap. That was it, because then he was right back up where he was before.
Right. Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, and Timo Glock round off the top five. Last six, fast lap of the race again. Lap seven, fast lap of the race again. Lap eight, Lewis Hamilton pounds another one in, 1:48.423. And obviously, Kurs is working. And also, Mark Webber seemed to have lost a couple of positions, but apparently he was told to let Timo Glock and Fernando by because he had gone wide on the opening lap, and he was really pissed off about
it. Yeah, it seemed kind of odd. It seemed to me like a little bit of an overkill on that, but the stewards are going to, you know, step in this race a couple of times just to let us know that they're there. I think the thing that comes to point quickly to mind is the fact that we saw a very similar thing happen with Kimi Raikkonen at Spa.
And that's the
and Spa, example. And he wins the race because he's able to get out and around. But the small difference in the two incidences is the fact that Kimi was basically punted off the course, whereas Mark Webber
chose to go that route.
He took the wide line to prevent interference with another car and... You know, I don't know. Do you penalize the guy for taking the safe line? I know it seems kind of odd.
I think on the opening lap, a little more leeway.
When you're in that kind of traffic, I think you've got to give him a little bit more leniency in that regard.
Absolutely.
Because would you rather that he take out Alonso and have both of them out of the race? Again, the stewards making decisions basically... To be heard.
Yeah.
And not necessarily to make a smart move.
Very inconsistent. We're used to it. Lap 9, Sutil is told to manage his engine temperature. Apparently, it's warming up a little bit.
Yeah. Apparently, they're having a coolant issue. But and maybe not so much of a coolant issue, but he's stuck right behind Alguersuari. And maybe he's not getting good airflow.
Absolutely.
On his radiators. The other possibility, too, is that one of the shots that we see, there's a lot of leaf debris on the track. Significantly more than we saw last year at this course. Last year, this place was pristine, and this year it's dusty, and there's leaves all over the track. But it could be that he's picked up a couple of leaves in one of his intakes, and that's maybe slowing some of the airflow over his radiators.
Lap 9, fast lap of the race. Nico Rosberg now pushing hard with a 1:48.352. And on lap 10, Giancarlo Fisichella needs to pass Adrian Sutil. They get on the horn. They're trying to push this
basically
man.
Telling him, hey, Sutil's having problems with engine temp. Run him down.
Yes, exactly. And
basically, we ended up, kind of the fun part of this race is that we ended up with an Alguersuari train because here's Jaime, and there are five cars that are two car lengths intervals behind him.
It's hard to pass here.
Yeah, definitely. No real good places to get a good run on somebody. And then most of the corners are pretty tight. There's no way to kind of run around somebody on any of these turns.
Right, and this is where the race and the track does get a little bit boring. You get that procession going, and it's...
And as are 80% of the Formula One races these days, in that, you know, you get the action in the first, you know, 3 to 5 laps, and then it's pit rotations.
Exactly. On lap 12, Sebastian Buemi makes a mistake. Kimi Raikkonen gets by for P12. So him and Fisichella are just sort of lackluster.
Having a hard time getting this car to perform on this particular track.
And my favorite part is Vitantonio Liuzzi trying to pass Giancarlo Fisichella, and they actually touch, which was pretty exciting. That was finally that woke me up a little bit. And Giancarlo Fisichella wouldn't have any of it. I mean, to have the Force India pass him, that would be losing face. It'd
be embarrassing to be passed by your old car.
And, of course, Adrian Sutil is he's slowed by Alguersuari for P14. So that whole procession in the back is brutal. Lap 14, the top 10 are Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Vettel, Glock, Alonso, Webber, Rubens Barrichello, Kubica, Heikki Kovalainen, and Jenson Button. And for some reason, on lap 14, Timo Glock's front wing is losing pieces. I mean, just little chunks are coming
off. I'm not even sure if it was the front wing or if it was part of maybe his diffuser or something, but suddenly he's going down one of the straights and all of a sudden this white box just comes flying up, rolls a couple times and lands standing up, you know, almost dead center of the racing line. Loco Yellow that ends up lasting for like 5 or 6 laps before they can find a big...
I think they forgot to take it down.
Well, I think what it is... They were having a hard time finding a big enough gap to, you know, find the brave guy to run out there and grab it.
Exactly, but the guy who took the short straw finally ran out there. Anyway, I was talking to myself, and I'm going, you know, the pit stops are coming up, and this race really is going to be determined in the pits.
A lot of it's going to
happen. Without pit stops, this race is absolutely blasé. Which without really refueling, it's going to be
really
blah, blah.
Scares me for next season yeah. because, you know, tire changes, okay, fine and dandy. We're going to have stuff to have pit stops for tire changes. But, you know, in the past 3 or 4 years, the pit stops that go awry are the ones where they can't get the fuel rig back off the car or they can't get the fuel rig on the car. And that's where the excitement comes. And
something.
We're going to lose that next season. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think the biggest problem in Formula One right now is that even though these are the most advanced cars in the world, the difference between the top speed within the entire grid is so insignificant that next year's maybe a little bit different because we're going to have, you know, the three or four new teams, which are going to kind of clog up the field. But still, the cars are so close together as far as performance goes. No one's got enough of an advantage to get past people.
And not only that, but the new rules where we're supposed to do the complete opposite. Keep up the good work, Max, on everything. We love you so
much. Maybe the new leadership at the FIA will figure out find that golden bullet to make this more exciting.
Yeah, let everybody do what they want. That's my rule. Lap 16, Rubens Barrichello is told to push because if he doesn't, he's got to get that gap to Sebastian Vettel. Because if he doesn't, after the pits, Vettel will be in front of him.
Still be in front of him.
He's got to get those points.
Exactly. Well, got to push to have the opportunity to get past him. The other thing about that, too, is if Barrichello can get in front of Vettel, maybe he can slow down Vettel a little bit to let Button catch him, too, on the second rotation. So, come on, Rubens!
Lap 17, Sebastian Vettel does pit. First pit stop of the week. And it's 8.4 stop. Excellent. He comes out behind Rubens Barrichello. So Rubinho did what he had to do.
Yeah, but he's not. The problem he has is he isn't able to run away from him either.
That's okay. But that would be for P7. Nico Rosberg pits, 9.1 second stop. And, you know, Nico's a great Formula One driver.
And a really good stop. And it looked like...
He just... That one little chicane...
Like he hit a patch of grease or he was... fiddling with the steering wheel or something, and suddenly he's out past the curb and off the line. He makes an effort to get back and in, but...
A breach of the rules is a breach of the rules.
But the stewards seem to think that...
No, but I mean, he did.
Yeah.
You can't have leniency for everybody, Stephen. Chop, chop. That's why
I wonder if 2 years ago and Kimi Raikkonen did that, if they would have penalized
him. Probably not. But that's a different story for a different world. So too bad for Nico. And, of course, they announce he will be investigated for crossing the white line. Mark Webber pits as well. Lap 19, everybody's pitting. Giancarlo Fisichella, Vitantonio Liuzzi, Timo Glock. Rubens Barrichello pits as well. And on lap 20, the leader, Lewis Hamilton, pits. 8.8 second stop and comes back out in the lead.
Which was really surprising.
Especially on a... street circuit, but he did an outstanding job. Robert Kubica pitted on that lap as well. And, of course, Nico, at the end of lap 20, is told that he will have a drive-through penalty. On lap 21, Adrian Sutil spins, and as he's trying to get out of the spin, he accelerated just a little bit too much while Quick Nick goes by and T-bones Quick Nick. And it was a big mistake. And I can understand he was frustrated. He's behind.
And he's trying to basically get his car back on track.
Right.
And the spot he was in, you maybe can cut him a little slack because he probably couldn't see Heidfeld coming.
No, he didn't look. If you look at the video, Adrian Sutil does not look for a car coming.
No, he just puts his foot in it and tries to get it around and just catches the back tire on Heidfeld's car, basically knocks Heidfeld out of the race and gets him ultimately ends up knocking himself out also because... After he goes back in, gets his new nose, he goes back out, he's back in after the next lap.
And and this is just not clear thinking. He's frustrated in being stuck behind Al-Gushwari. And that frustration just developed into this whole disaster.
Yeah, he basically tried to make a pass that there wasn't room for and just didn't do the trick. So we get a safety car.
Yep, safety car comes out because we've got debris all over the track.
Yeah, basically the entire front end of Sutil's car and then a quarter of the actually it's basically all of Sutil's nose spread out over the track.
Exactly. Right after this happens, Adrian Sutil, Jaime Al-Gushwari, pits, and they're having trouble with the fuel line because Alguersuari leaves before the fuel line is out, almost a la Felipe.
Yeah, almost looked like either someone in his ear told him to go, or his foot slipped off the clutch or something. He just, it's like, because the Bollipop doesn't even flinch, yeah, and he's starting to move. Almost maybe like it was in gear and the back tires may have already been spinning when they let it off the jack. He was gone. He manages to stop it. They get the rig off. It didn't look like there was any permanent damage to his crew, though it looked like a couple of the guys were probably going to be nursing ice packs this evening.
Lap 23, safety car is still out. It's Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Vettel, Timo Glock, and Fernando Alonso. Of course, Nick Heidfeld is out of the race, and they're telling Nico to do his drive-through, and they told him to follow the safety car in, do your drive-through, and then resume the race.
But
lap 25, the safety car comes in, but Nico stays out. I guess he wanted to just push.
Yeah, the other point to make too is that he can't serve the drive-through while the safety car is on the track. It has to be in race conditions.
Really?
But it actually makes sense if you really think about it. I think that maybe we got a radio transmission that we missed and that they said, you know, hey, let's wait till the third. Let's get this field stretched out a little bit before we do that drive-through. Maybe we can cut down on the number of spots we're going to lose.
Exactly. And on lap 26, Adrian Sutil and Nick Heidfeld, that particular incident we just spoke about a few moments ago, will be investigated by your friends.
Yeah. And what did we get? We're going to penalize somebody in Japan? You know, or we're going to I would prefer that they would lighten somebody's pocket.
Something.
Than, you know, put influence on the next race. You know, they've got enough influence in this race as is.
On lap 26, Nico takes his drive-through, comes out in P14.
Yeah.
Big bummer.
Yeah, huge bummer. He's basically running from P2 down to 14. Yeah. He's basically kind of, his weekend's done.
Yeah, he had a great podium for sure, and he was doing outstanding. That one little mistake coming out of the pits, boom, it's over with. Very sad state of affairs for the Williams team. Lap 28, Sebastian Vettel is beginning to catch Lewis Hamilton. He's quick, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, and he's having a good race. He's pulling away from Glock. Glock is kind of taking it easy down there in P3, which I think may come back to haunt him.
Exactly. Lap 30, it's Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Timo Glock, who's having a pretty good race. I'm very impressed that he's able to stay at the front of the spear. Fernando Alonso and Rubinho. A train of cars are, of course, behind Rubinho.
It's kind of like the Trulli train. The old guys always seem to be a magnet for
cars. That's true. Lewis Hamilton to Sebastian Vettel, a half a second. Very impressive stuff. It's a good fight, and, Vettel's looking at these points. You know, his championship, he doesn't want to give up.
No. He needs to do well, because otherwise his championship's hopes are going to be lost. I think at this point of the race right now, Mark Webber is in eighth, which will mean he will not be mathematically eliminated should the race end in the current grid spots. He'll basically be a half a point from being eliminated. But he needs to pick it up because he's behind both of the Bruns.
Nico Rosberg pits on lap 34, 9.4 second stop, goes with the Super Softs, and he's out now in P17.
Yeah.
I really feel for the guy.
That's got to really hurt. You know, that's kind of... would have been interested to find out if basically the car got away from him, or was it a lapse of concentration that caused him to go over the line, just to see, you know, which way it went, which way it was. But just a really costly mistake.
Sebastian Vettel now is a little bit faster than Lewis Hamilton, especially in Sector 1, and he's doing an outstanding job. Lewis Hamilton says, forget that, and he goes fastest in lap 36 with a 1:48.345, and both of those two front runners, that's probably the most excitement we're getting in this race.
Yeah, they're basically pretty close together. I think Vettel got one decent run at Hamilton in this time period, but again, the kind of track it is and basically the parity between the cars, just not enough there to get past.
Yeah, and not only that, but you know, we've talked about the Adrian Newey designs, how somewhat fragile they are.
You know, I think a really good term for them would be brittle.
Brittle.
You know, they're strong, but they tend to crack.
Yeah, sometimes. So there's a lot of bumps here. High, you know, it's tough. And, of course, on lap 37, we're looking at Sebastian Vettel, and the right mirror is vibrating and into,
just zips
it's
up.
Gone.
Yeah, it's like, kind of like that, what was it, Japan, where Kimi was whipping along and one of his horns flies off.
Yeah, so too bad for him, but now he's only got, at least he's got a left side mirror.
Yeah, it's not like he needs to look at who's coming up behind him anyway.
Exactly. Sebastian Buemi pits on lap 38. Nico Rosberg passes Jaime Alguersuari for P16. I'm sure he's just thrilled to death about
and
that.
He didn't really muscle his way past Jaime. Just Jaime kind of knows where he's at this point in the race.
Yes, exactly.
And he's over. I think that maybe what we see later in the race is that at this point, Buemi's or Alguersuari's starting to feel the problems with the brakes.
Not only that,
which are going to be a problem, yeah. A bigger problem for him later.
And realizing that he has no fuel. I don't know what's going on there. Lap 39, Sebastian Vettel pits. 8.4 seconds, super soft tires, comes out in P7. Lap 40, Sebastian Buemi back to the pits. Yes, it's a fuel rig problem, and we're not sure what's going on over there.
No, it's weird. This team last season with a winning driver were
superb.
Nails. They were nailing it, getting everything right, doing really well. And this season, you know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, maybe they lost a crew chief or one of their head mechanics who moved on. But they just don't seem the same kind of focus.
Well, to be honest with you, I think Buemi, you know, they call him the leader of the team. He's still super young and
yeah,
super rookie-esque.
Well, you basically got two drivers that are in their rookie seasons.
Exactly.
You can't expect the driver to be the rock of the team.
And it shows.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen. Again, that's one of those things. Okay, fine, let's get Alguersuari some races, but I think it was a mistake to let Bourdais go because he was really the only guy on the team, possibly other than some of the people in the higher positions of the team, who had any real race experience.
Yes, but, you know, some people don't like Bourdais, and that's just the way it is. The hell with them. Lap 40, the bad news comes over the radio. Sebastian Vettel is being investigated for speeding in the pits.
Yeah, apparently he didn't hit the limiter soon enough
I'm not sure. Limiter was set there wrong. Might have been. Maybe it wasn't calibrated correctly.
He broke the rules. Again, another mistake by a front runner that's going to cost him.
And, oh, yeah.
And it ends up not costing him nearly as much as it costs Nico. And I think a lot of what happened to poor Nico is if that safety car hadn't come out, it doesn't completely destroy his race. He's still in the top five. But with the safety car, he's toast because no matter what he does, he's going to end up way back.
Lap 41, Sebastian Vettel takes his drive-through penalty, and he's so distraught about it deep down in his gut that they have to tell him, hey, it's not that bad. You can still, you know, get points here.
Don't stop racing because, first of all, you're ahead of both Brauns, which means you're going to gain points on both of them. So get your head back in the game, kid, because yeah. You still got 30 laps to go.
Don't forget, Mark Webber won with a drive-through penalty in Germany.
Exactly.
So chop, chop.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to happen to the guys in front of you.
Exactly.
You know, who knows? Maybe, you know, on the second step, Lewis on his second stop goes over the pit line and has to take a hit.
No, don't forget, Lewis crashed in the last lap of the last race.
Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen ahead of you. You've got to race until the flag drops.
Keep up the good work, Sebastian Vettel. Lap 42, Robert Kubica pits. Team tells Sebastian Vettel to keep racing, please. Do not stop. Very good. Sebastian Vettel takes the penalty on lap 43, comes out in P9. Could have been worse.
Yeah, could have been significantly worse. If the field is tightened up, then he's, you know, way back. But as it is, the field's been stretched out by, you know, a dozen laps of racing.
Exactly. We're watching Mark Webber. They're getting ready for his pit stop. And every time he hits those brakes, that big poof.
Oh, huge. I don't, you know, we've seen it before. You see it when we're in Canada. You see it happen. But I don't think I've ever seen clouds this big come out of somebody's brakes.
Exactly.
He goes in for the pits, and the boys are looking at the looking at the.
Well, they have to because they can see it on the monitors, and I'm sure the.
Well, what was interesting is after he gets out of the pit lane, you see the mechanics picking bits up off of the
right. That's off falling
the
off the car. More Adrian Newey parts? We don't know.
No, it looked like parts of the rotors or the calipers.
Probably the pads. Probably beginning to just completely disintegrate. Yeah. It's brutal, but they send them back out. 14.7 second stop. They think everything's cool. They send him back out. He comes out in P14. Lap 45, Timo Glock pits. He comes back out in P6. Outstanding job for Toyota because they really need this uplift.
They need a podium. It's been a brutal season for Toyota kind of all the way around. When they've looked good, they haven't – you know, when they've qualified well, they don't race for crap. When they don't qualify well, they race really well. You know, it's like, you know, you're not going to win races starting from pit lane, and you're not going to win races when you qualify in the top five and lose 10 spots in the first four laps. You know, it just doesn't happen.
Exactly. A very sad state of affairs. And, of course, as I'm rooting for Timo to do well for Toyota, Mark Webber crashes between turn one and two. His brakes have left
the building. Exactly. They've gone into the bay. Bang, he rolls. Basically, he spins out, goes tail first into the barriers. He's pretty much done for the day. Local yellow, though. They were thinking maybe a possible safety car, but it was at a point in the track where they were going to be pretty easy to get the car off the track.
Well, I think the McLaren team might have thought a safety was coming because Lewis Hamilton pitted on the following lap.
Yeah. Though there is no penalty for pitting under the safety car anymore, so that is no. But you want to get in and out. You don't really want to pit under the safety car if you can help it because the field bunches up.
Exactly. That was a 6.5 second stop. Keep up the good work, Lewis Hamilton. And now we have Rubens Barrichello, Heikki Kovalainen, Kaz Nakajima, Giancarlo Fisichella, Vitalino Luizzi, and Jarno Trulli. No, and, I'm sorry. Jaime Alguersuari all pit on lap 47. So there you have it. Leading the race is Fernando Alonso. You know, for Renault.
And you've got to be really happy that ING left because now it's a big black Renault on the side pod instead of that silly orange
line. I was hoping that Renault, but of course they didn't have time. And of course there was still ING on the staff suit.
Yeah, you don't have
in the garage. I mean, they didn't have time to take it all down. And you know what? They could have gotten duct tape and just covered it all up just out of meanness, but they didn't, see? So ING got a bunch of free sponsorship. And Renault showing their good nature.
Yeah. I will be interested to see whether or not they have the patches off the uniforms for Japan.
Of course, I would have just cut it out and left the big hole.
Maybe just sew a big Renault over the top of it or something.
I've got plenty of F1 Weekly stickers we could cover those up with.
Yeah. Exactly. We could have overnighted them.
Exactly. So there you have it. So on lap 47, it's Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button.
The button still needs to stop.
Yes, Timo Glock and Sebastian Vettel. Keep up the good work, Sebastian. Lap 48, Jaime Alguersuari, Sebastian Buemi both pit again. And I'm just going...
Yeah, the first thought is we think Alguersuari's having problems with the fuel again. But then once Buemi comes in, we realize that they both watched Mark Webber's car give up its brakes. And
their telemetry was saying, you know what, your brakes are about to explode.
Yeah, let's get them off the track. We don't want to do that to our young drivers. Get them in the garage. Keep them safe. We'll race again in Japan in a week.
Lap 49, Jenson Button is now actually pushing before he has to do his stop. He realizes, go, baby. He needs those championship points. We're down to just three more races after this. He could almost have it in the bag. Lap 50, Fernando Alonso pits. 5.5 second stop. I'm sorry, I know I like Renault, but that was a fast stop.
That was a good stop. Basically, it was almost a straight-up tire stop. He only needed three and a half seconds worth of gas to get to the end of the race. So 5.5, and you can only probably cut another maybe a half a second off of that for a straight-up tire change, a first-class stop. And Renault always has had first-class pit crew.
I mean, that includes the churro that they hand him.
Churro?
Yeah, a little snack. A little Espanol snack. Keep up the good work, Steven.
Did churros come out of Spain or Mexico?
They're in Spain, too. You can get them in France if you want.
Probably.
It's a global industry now, Steven.
Exactly.
And, of course, Fernando comes out in P4. Lap 51, Jensen Button pits, 6.4 second stop, comes out in P5. Yarno Trulli pits as well. Sebastian Vettel runs wide in turn one. And I think that's a mistake. I think he runs wide in turn five. And isn't that where he hits the diffuser?
Well, he basically runs the curb down the center of the car.
Yeah, okay.
And they're worried that he's torn bits off the car. But
the car is falling apart.
Yeah, but the next lap he ends up putting down is a faster lap. So the guys on the Speed Podcast were like all laughing because they know that the guys like knew we were going like, no, the car doesn't go faster when you knock parts off of it.
Well, it gets lighter, though.
It does get that. There's a good point right there. You lose that mirror, that's probably a pound and a half right there.
Exactly. Lap 52, Kimi Raikkonen pits, 6.0 second stop, comes out in P10. He will not score any points for Ferrari. Dismal day for the Scuderia. Lap 53, Fernando Alonso, fast lap of the race with a 1:48.240. Will he go all the way?
And that stands for the...
For the race?
For the race.
Exactly, because he knows his days are numbered. It's over. It pretty soon, they get the Hawaiian guitars out. Bow, wow, 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 wow. It's just the way it is, Steven. Jensen Button now catching Sebastian Vettel for P4. And it's pretty exciting. Fernando Alonso is going to be on the podium. I'm pumped up. And we're reaching the two-hour limit very soon. It's very close. With the safety cars, that burned off a few minutes there. So for a minute there, I thought it was going to close in, but no more safety cars. It's a smooth ending. And now Jensen Button realizes that his brakes are giving him trouble. Yeah. They tell him.
I think the best part of that is that was it that lap or like two laps later? Because Jensen says, Ross, just bring it home.
Bring it home, baby.
You know, it's like, this is the boss. Take it easy.
Exactly. Kimi Raikkonen trying to pass Kaz Nakajima, which gets absolutely nowhere. Timo Glock doing an outstanding job for Toyota. He'll certainly be there next year while Yarno Trulli will be fired.
A lot of people aren't so sure about that.
No, I'm sure.
I would agree with you. In my personal opinion, as far as teams go, it does not make sense to change out both drivers because then you have no continuity. Unless you're looking at doing wholesale changes all the way across your team.
They could always get Ralf Schumacher back if you want continuity, Steven.
Yeah, but he hasn't been. It would be just like getting a new driver if you brought in Ralph at this point because he's been away for so long.
No, that's poor true. So true.
And, you know, you'd be better off picking up, I can think about like five kids in GP2 that I would rather have than Ralph.
So Lewis Hamilton wins the Singtel Singapore Grand Prix for McLaren. An outstanding job. His teammate is way in P7.
He does score points. We'll give him that much. But,
please.
Not.
And he's interviewed after the race, and, you know, he basically has no excuses. Martin Wismarsh, well, I watched BBC coverage, so lots of interviews in the post-race, and even Martin Wismarsh said, you know, we've told him, he knows he's got to pick up the pace, and he probably won't be able to. And, of course, then Martin Wismarsh was confronted, is Kimi going to McLaren next year? Martin Wismarsh had this huge grin on his face, giggling like an 11-year-old girl, and refused to say anything, but that said it all.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I predict, and practically can
that
confirm.
That's gonna be interesting, because
not really.
You're talking about two world championship champions.
Martin Wismarsh kept saying in the interview that he wants the best drivers. Clearly, Heikki Kovalainen is not one of the best drivers.
No, definitely not.
So
I can think of two or three other guys who would fit well into that spot, but But if they manage to get Kimi, that's going to be a coup.
So third spot for Fernando is outstanding. He podium. dedicates this podium to Flavio. So for me, to Flavio and Fernando, could be the last time I will say bravo, bravo, bravo.
Yeah, very interesting in that regard, in the fact that, you know, that Flavio's not supposed to be allowed to manage drivers in Formula One anymore, and Mark Webber came out and went, F that.
Yeah.
He's my manager, right?
Yeah, I won't have anybody else manage me.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting, you know, so basically they're not going to renew his super license. Sounds to me like he's got probably a pretty good line for a lawsuit against the FIA.
Well, maybe Flavio will change his name, move his business to Spain, and call it Tio Pepe. Thank you very much. So there you have it. Great race. Sebastian Vettel finishes fourth. Jenson Button fifth. Rubinho right behind his loving partner.
Yeah, that means his partner got a point on him. So
exactly. Heikki Kovalainen, Kubica, Kaz Nakajima, and Kimi Raikkonen round off the top 10.
With Nico followed by Jarno, Giancarlo, and Vittantonio to wrap up the field. Aguasori, Buemi, Weber, Sutil, Heidfeld, and Grosjean do not finish the race.
Exactly. There you have it. Some interesting post-race interviews. Nick Heidfeld calling Adrian Sutil stupid. And in the end, Adrian Sutil gets reprimanded and fined by the Singapore Grand Prix stewards after the incident.
Good.
So there you have it.
Much rather see him be fined
$20,000.
Than being penalized grid position in Japan.
Yeah, and $20,000 is like 16 piano lessons.
Not only that, but that's typically one that size. He's probably got it written in his contract. The team will pick up that tab.
And also, it looks to be pretty much inked. Ferrari have signed Fernando Alonso. He will be in red next season. And that's just the way it is. Renault will miss him. And Jean-François Kobe says that I think Fernando will miss Renault. And Renault, of course, will miss Fernando. And, of course, it also looks like it's confirmed that Robert Kubica will be taking Fernando's place at Régie Renault. So, pretty good stuff. We'll see what happens. I'll, of course, be rooting for Robert Kubica, Stephen.
Yeah.
There you go. I thought it was a pretty good race, but also a little bit too boring.
Yeah, it had good spots, and it's kind of a fun track to watch cars go around on, but there were a couple of times there where I felt my eyelids getting a little heavy.
Okay, so let's go right to the forum comments. And I'll start with Auto Racer 5. And you always got to watch it with this guy because he's got these subliminal messages. Not sure who he's, you know, talking to out there, but there you have it. Auto Racer 5 says, Lewis and Nicole didn't break up, and it shows by winning. They weren't strangers to love. They knew the rules, and so did BMW. An easy drive was what he was thinking of, and you wouldn't get that from any other driver. Lewis was never going to give up the win. I'm sure there was a message in there. Steven?
Sure. From Brad Hump, he writes, Hamilton back on top of both the podium and Nicole. Button pips Rubens and crawls closer to the driver's crown. Too many breaks of the brakes. Am I the only one who finds this circuit makes me a little dizzy? Use it or lose it.
From Kei Shen, probably mispronounced that, but I'll get over it. Hamilton and McLaren back on form, but which Braun will it be at the end? Ferrari have lost it again, and where are the Indians? Weber out of the running to cries of dismay down under. Good news for Toyota, at least after so many billions of yen spent.
Yeah, let's hope that Toyota can carry that momentum into Japan where they really need to look good.
Right.
From Bumgartner fan, way to get a mention, Flav.
From Tricky Dicky, B-O-R-I-N-G. Gloria, B-O-R-R-N-G, Gloria. Steven?
From Francois Sever. This time Hamilton was able to hold his car on track until the end. Nice to see a happy pussycat after the checkered flag. Glock was excellent. Amazing performance from Timo. Nico needs glasses and Vettel needs to start paying those speeding tickets from his own pocket. Some damage limitation for Mr. Button. Push, 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 Rubinho.
And, of course, from Yay, it was a fizzy fizzler. Took a safety car and failing brakes to spice it up. The script that says it must go down to the last race is being followed perfectly.
Yeah, it was interesting that they made a mention of if we were running, you know, the head of the sports or of the Formula One's plan, the season would be over. Because
the medals.
Yeah, if Jens had six medals, he'd be done.
Yeah.
Next one's from H-Bright Music. He writes, dominate win from Lewis, but Suzuka will be different. Ferrari nowhere, but should be back in Suzuka. Great damage limitation from Jens, aided by his competitors losing the plot. Timo shows how to keep out of trouble to take second. Same goes for Alonso, who never put a wheel wrong. Force India performed as expected, but should also do better next week.
Thank you, Stephen, for another outstanding forum comments. We appreciate it. Thanks, guys, a lot. And, of course, the forum has a new look. I want to thank Toby Dawes for working and slaving hard to the wee hours of the night, getting stuff like that up and going.
I think we had one more comment from the forum from Mellory, and it was, Brakesplosion.
Keep up the good work, Steve, for not missing anything.
Wouldn't want to miss out on one of the comments. That would just be exactly. Just rude.
So there you have it. We're down to three races. We go right to Japan next weekend. No break. And then off to Brazil.
And then on back to the desert.
Abu Dhabi, where we might even see our friend Sebastian Loeb behind the Toro Rosso.
That would be interesting.
Absolutely. And of course, by then, I say by next week, we'll have all this silly stuff behind us with the drivers going where.
Yeah, hopefully, I think after Japan, in that break between Japan and Brazil, that we'll see a lot of the thought, basically we'll see the driver, a lot of the driver stuff shake out.
Exactly.
At least the big names.
So we'll see what happened. Pretty good race in the end. It was a little bit boring, I have to admit, but you know these street races are going to be like that until we get rain. And this year we just haven't had any great rain.
No, we had two rainy races early in the year, and one that basically washed out, which is a little more rain than I want. But
yeah, I just want a little bit of rain. For excitement.
Well, just to kind of throw a wrench in the mix so that, you know, people have to, you know, get in for tires and then get back out and then readjust their strategies.
Well, Suzuka should be exciting. Of course, Lewis Hamilton has never raced at Suzuka.
And the one thing about Suzuka is it won't be torrential downpour for the majority of the race like it always seems to be at Fuji.
No, but we could get some rain there, so it's going to be exciting. I expect Ferrari to pick up the pace a little bit. I think McLaren will be dominant again. And I certainly hope Fernando performs in his outstanding fashion really well for the final races and his final career.
Well, Japan is a track that he likes, so yeah. I'm thinking that the Renault will be again competitive.
Yeah, and he wants to go out on a high with Renault before he moves over to the Pasta Boys.
To that red car on the other side.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens, but it was pretty exciting. Join us for the midweek podcast. We'll have more good stuff, possible interview. There's always surprises here at F1 Weekly. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.